introduced. She was the second speaker against, and she introduced a substitute, and it was seconded.
All right.
So is there any discussion on the substitute, or may we go to a vote? Okay. So the substitute motion will be on the floor first. That's for 35 minutes. The main motion is for an hour. What's currently on the agenda is 20 minutes. So if you support extending it to 35, then you would vote yes on the substitute, and if it passes, it would become the main motion, and we would vote on it again. If you do not, and you support the hour, then you would vote no on the substitute and yes on the main motion. If you do not support either of them, and you wish to stick 20 minutes on the agenda, then most likely you would vote no on both of them. Or you could vote yes on the substitute and no on it if it becomes the main motion. Okay, so what we've got in front of us is 35 minutes as a substitute for the 20 minutes that's on. I mean, there's 20 minutes on the agenda. Main motion is to make it an hour. The substitute is 35. We're going to vote on the substitute. So if you support 35 minutes, vote yes. If you do not, vote no. Mr.
Point
of
information.
I'm sorry. Point of
information.
What's the question, Benito?
Do we have a second for this motion?
Yes, yeah. It was Burden.
Okay.
John here.
Hi, John.
Okay, John, I got you.
Okay, so we're voting on whether on the substitute for the main motion, and the substitute is for 35 minutes for this agenda item. If you support that, vote yes. If you do not, vote no. Go ahead, Mr. Secretary.
Okay, Alan? Can't hear you, Teresa. No. You there? I can't hear you, Teresa. Okay, UCL's going to vote yes. Burden?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts? Can't hear you, Serene.
Sorry, no.
No, okay. Saba? Gray?
Yes.
Yes. Edward Seekard?
No.
No. Rosenberg?
Yes, on the substitute.
Yes. Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson?
I vote no.
No. Diaz?
No.
No. King? Norman? Can't hear you, Tony.
Norman, yes.
Yes, okay. Brazon?
No.
No. Crumshow?
Yes.
Yes. Medina?
No.
Oh, you're there. Okay, good. And I didn't hear Alan. Alan, did you hear me? Can't hear Alan. I've got 7-6. Is that right? Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Secretary?
7-6.
Okay, so the substitute becomes the main motion. We have to vote on it again. Again, the time on the agenda was set at 20 minutes. The main motion was for an hour. The substitute was for 35. The substitute has passed. It now becomes the main motion. So if you support 35 minutes on the agenda for discussion of the LMAs as opposed to the 20 that is already on the agenda, then you would vote yes. If you do not, and wish for the 20 that is on the agenda, then you would vote down what is now the main motion, the 35 minutes. So yes, if you support 35 minutes, no, if you don't, in which case it'll be 20. Mr. Secretary, please take the roll. Thank you.
Edward Seekard?
Yes.
Yes. Rosenberg? Are there any rejections?
Yeah.
I'm gonna pass, Richard. Come back to me.
Pass. Wow. Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Wilkinson?
Yes.
Yes. Diaz?
No.
Norman?
Yes.
Yes. Brazon?
Yes.
Yes. Crumshow?
I'm going to pass.
Pass. Medina?
Yes.
Yes. Alan? Can't hear you, Teresa. Polinar? Hitchell? Uzel? I'll vote yes. Burton?
Yes.
Yes. Coleman?
Yes.
Yes. Roberts? Can't hear you, Shereen. Can't hear you, Shereen. Saba? Gray?
Yes.
Yes or no? Gray?
Yes.
Thank you. Rosenberg?
I'll abstain.
Abstain, all right. Somebody else pass. Crumshow, pass.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Is that Shereen? Yeah.
I abstain.
Okay. Okay, it's 10-4, one opposed, and two abstained.
Wait a minute, you said 10-4, Richard.
What was it?
10-4, the motion to oppose.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay, thank you. So the motion carries.
10-1-2.
The LMA discussion has been expanded to 35 minutes on the agenda. Thank you.
35 minutes of discussion.
I'm sorry, was someone trying to be recognized?
So we should be through with this at 9:50.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
How about Summer?
Yes.
Okay. I just have a question. It's not an objection necessarily, but I thought that at some meeting back in October we had put the affiliates director open and closed session appearances on the agenda. So I'm curious as to why it's still showing as a committee item.
It's called. I'm sorry.
Shereen, were you finished?
Yeah, well, it's a question. I'm finished asking the question.
I'm sorry. Richard, did you have a response?
Those particular motions, I don't think were dealt with. They were added in September 26th. We talked about other things related to the affiliates task force. If y'all want to take those off, that's fine with me. I love to have things go off the agenda.
No, I'm not suggesting they be removed from the agenda. I don't know why they're there under a committee report as opposed to simply being on the agenda, something the board has to deal with.
Well, because she would be obviously speaking probably as part of the affiliate task force. So I think that's why it's there, because she's the affiliates director. So that does make some sense. In terms of time sensitivity, obviously so many things in our agenda have simply aged out by the time we get to them in terms of whether they're relevant anymore, but different issues.
We talked about both those items. We talked about both those items, so, you know, it's kind of redundant anyway, but, you know, redundant.
No, we actually haven't dealt with it, but that's fine. Let's see if we get that far tonight.
We should be so lucky. Okay. Thank you. All right. Very good. Are there any other changes, or may we proceed? Okay, excellent. So there's 15 minutes down for an IED report, and now 35 minutes for the LMAs. Let me just change that on my agenda so I keep track. All right, so last week on the 5th, I sent you all my report with, a dozen attachments or several attachments. I'd have to open it back up. So I'll cover those things which are appropriate for open session, which are... Yes? Did someone have a question? Okay.
No.
Very good. Thank you. All right. So I'll just cruise through. Many of these things can be covered in open session. So I'll just go through my report and cover them and add anything that's happened since last week. It's for open session. We have engaged outside development services to facilitate the end-of-year mailing for both the National Office and the Pacifica Radio Archives. That's moving forward accordingly with the person who's doing that and the printers and the archives. And so at least that is on track for both of those units, the National Office and the PRA, to have end-of-year mailings. This will be the first end-of-year mailing in several years for the Pacifica Radio Archives, which I've been told has not done one in several years. And this office was not able to do one last year because of the state of the database at the time, but those things have been remedied. In dealing with our CPB compliance, I've appointed a compliance officer to see to it that all of our Quarterly Communications Act compliance documents are in order and submitted quarterly to the CPB as required by the findings of their audit, and that is going well. Our third quarter has seen significant improvement, and we will be submitting our fourth quarter shortly. The AFRs for 2009 and 2010 have been revised by our auditors, and we hope that all these things will result in the release of our long overdue CPB funds as well as the ones that are currently due this season. In a similar vein, I am systematizing the quarterly compliance on EEOC, copyright, public file, et cetera. There are many areas of compliance that will also be coordinated through National Tech Department staff who will be working with the local stations to assure that we have proper records at the national level of the local compliance and so that we can address any issues should we perceive them in a timely fashion. The IRS audit of 2011 was successfully concluded with no changes to that filing. Our pension fund is currently being audited, which we do annually. We've instituted flexible spending accounts for our employees, which will allow them to enjoy pre-tax savings on unreimbursed medical expenses as well as dependent care coverage. And that will be implemented in time for the new year, and we'll be working on commuter check benefits as per one of our negotiated union contracts, but we are extending these benefits, of course, to all employees of Pacifica. So the union negotiations at one unit may have corollary benefits to employees in the rest of the organization. We are helping the affiliates program to create more discrete management of the program. We've opened up a separate bank account for it. A lockbox is being set up to assure internal controls and viewability of all deposits by both the affiliates director and the national office, and I am working with the director in terms of streamlining some of the processes at that unit so that they will be more easily managed. The Pacifica Radio Archives held a two-day fund drive in November. It made approximately $150,000, which was $75,000 short of its goal, so it will continue to see budgetary shortfalls, which have been predominantly caused by the inability to pay central services by our two East Coast units, WBAI and WPFW, for a significant length of time. In order to support the functions of the archives, I've been working with the director there for an extended period of time now on development initiatives, including the end-of-year appeal, a car donation program, and we'll be working to see what other development support that we can give to that unit to support its funding base in light of the financial circumstances of the East Coast stations, which will take some time to turn around, obviously. KPFA has finished making its selection of management candidates, and we hope to be making a permanent hire there in the not-too-distant future. KPFA's license has been renewed by the FCC for another 8 years. KPFK is currently scheduled for a complete phase-out of CPB funding based on low listenership and low listener support from a revenue perspective. It will not have to contend with the impact of that during this fiscal year. However, it's scheduled for complete phase-out the following year. KPFT has lost its minority audience service station mass criteria designation, which, again, will not affect its funding cycle during FY 2014, but will in the following year. WPFW has been granted an extension of its special temporary authority, STA, to operate at low power while continuing to make repairs on its tower. And KPFT has also been granted a special temporary authority to continue operating at low power while it makes repairs to its facilities as well. So we have two stations operating at low power. Let's see. I'm obviously skipping over things which I do not think are appropriate to you, public session. Let's see. We've hired an interim program director at WBAI, Robert Hennelly. Mr. Hennelly was formerly with the Pacifica Network News back when we had Pacifica Network News, and in the interim has been with WNYC and has been producing the morning show at BAI for the last 3 months. Union negotiations with SAG-AFTRA have concluded as of today. I started arbitration over the phone this morning at 7 a.m. and had two arbitration hearings today, closing out the last of our outstanding obligations regarding severance and grievances. So we have entered into a stipulated settlement, which gives us 90 days to meet our contractual obligations to our employees in that collective bargaining unit. WBAI has begun its pre-filing license renewal process as of December 1st for its license renewal. And I think that pretty much covers, I've talked for 10 minutes. It's 15 minutes in this segment. I can certainly take a couple of questions, and that pretty much covers what I can say in open session regarding those matters which were covered in your written report of last week for this week's meeting. Thank you.
Benito to the stick.
Okay, Benito, well.
Thanks. First of all, if you could elaborate on, you made a comment with regard to the archives fund drive, and you said, I didn't catch, there was something that related to PFW and BAI not paying, and something that contributed to the $75,000 shortfall for the archives. And then you also said something else about BAI and PFW, not the low power. Now I forgot what it was.
Probably regarding the financial circumstances of those stations. Let me clarify. The $75,000 is what the two-day on-air fund drive fell short of its goal. It raised $150,000 as opposed to $25,000. We are having to engage in various strategies to support the funding base of the archives because WBAI and WPFW have been unable to pay central services, including the portion which would typically go to the archives. So they're not tied to that $75,000 shortfall. That's an on-air fund drive shortfall. But the overall funding situation at the archives is jeopardized because of the inability of the two East Coast stations thus far to pay their central services, which obviously also impacts at an even higher level on the national office and our ability to pay shared expenses here at the foundation. But WBAI and WPFW have not been paying central services for some time. We anticipate WPFW may be able to resume in the spring, and we certainly hope so. Obviously, WBAI is facing very dramatic financial situation, which we will undoubtedly be discussing in the portion relative to the LMAs. So, does that clarify, Benito?
Yeah, thank you. And I remembered the other issue. Well, you said that, let me see, I guess it was KPFT and KPFK are going to lose CPB funding due to what? Something about low listenership or something?
Two different situations. KPFT has lost its minority audience service station, mass criteria. Will not lose funding. It will be reduced. KPFK, however...
Yeah, I don't know what that term means.
It means if you are considered to be a station which serves a minority community, the standards by which your funding are calculated are different than if you are not. And they are no longer considered to be a station serving a minority audience.
And so they lose...
they lose a certain portion of funding. For KPFK, the situation is far more dire in that they are scheduled for a complete phase-out of funding simply based on lack of listenership and lack of sufficient listener revenue. So it's not considered to have enough listeners or to be producing enough income to continue to receive CPB funding. That was in the packet that I sent everyone a week ago, is the letter from CPB, which lists the matrix, as it were, as to what the expectations are for funding and where the station falls, which is obviously considerably less than the minimum required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
So Tony, for the stack.
Thank you. Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, follow-up to one of... Nito's questions. I think we need to get a report as to just how much the East Coast stations actually owe and Central Services, because, for instance, WPFW, we haven't received CPB funds in over 3 years, actually. So to link us to the archives deficit, I don't think that's a fair. It implies that the archives is having difficulties because of those two East Coast stations. And I don't think that's a fair assessment that needs to be put out there. Until we get an actual accounting as to how much we are owed and how much credit for the CPB funds, I think then we can look at that. But linking those two because the archives didn't meet their fundraising goals and then throwing in the East Coast stations, I think is an unfair. It implies that the East Coast stations are causing the archives to lose money.
Well, that's
until we get a report. I think until we get a report as to what we owe and don't owe, I don't think that's a fair linkage that need to be stated publicly.
Well, it's a known fact. The PFW and BAI don't pay Central Services, which means the national office cannot pay shared bills, and the archives does not receive that funding. This isn't open to debate. And the CPB funds were allocated towards your bills, okay, covering things like your payroll. The national office doesn't keep anybody's CPB funds. So I'm not sure what you mean by your station hasn't seen its CPB funds in 3 years. I know since I've been here, your CPB funds were used for your station's expenses. And if you need to have a report generated on that, certainly. But there's no debating that, in fact, both the foundation as a whole and the archives as a specific unit are extremely compromised by not receiving Central Services from New York and D.C. This isn't something I'm bringing out for the first time on this call. This is something that has been widely discussed on many, many calls, I do believe, including National Finance Committee calls as well as PNB calls. And, again, the shortfall on an on-air fund drive is a separate issue from the fact that there are not forthcoming Central Services from the two East Coast stations, which is, it's simply a fact. That's just how it's been for an extended period of time. So I'd be happy to get you a report on how much is owed to the national office as well as to the archives from both of those stations, because it's that's obtainable.
So, yes, I like that report. We won't really know all that until we get the written report, which we haven't gotten for a few years.
Can I, Serene?
That's not accurate, Tony, but I'm sorry. Did you wish to be recognized, Tracy?
Yes, I would.
Go ahead, Tracy.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, in fact, the National Finance Committee had a meeting where we invited Brian DeSazer of the Archives to come and speak to us a bit about some of the financial challenges the Archives were facing. And he did, in fact, bring to that meeting, which was earlier this year, and I believe WPFW's rep to the Finance Committee was there, a written report summarizing the status of archive payments. I believe the report went back to 2010, and it did provide all of that detail. So maybe that's something that can be gotten again from Brian DeSazer and provided, but just wanted to be clear that we did have this meeting. This report was provided and it was discussed on the National Finance Committee call and was streamed as well. Thank you.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes?
We would like to, that's not the report we were requesting. We'd like to report on what these stations owe the national office. I was in that National Finance Committee meeting and that was not the report that we're requesting for.
I understand. You'd like to know what the outstanding intercompany receivable is for central services for New York and D.C., correct?
Thank you. Yes.
Yes, no problem. I will get somebody to generate that for us, okay? Thank you.
Summer.
Tracy, okay, sorry, who was next?
This is Serena.
Sorry, Summer, let me just, I'll finish that comment, which is I was simply addressing the matter of the archives, because that's what we were talking about.
Certainly. Thank you. Go ahead, Serena.
Okay, so I would actually ask that information be provided for each station, including a listing, a complete listing of where the CPB monies have been used. Instead of, since your statement, as I understand it, is that instead of the checks being sent to the individual stations, that the funds have simply been used to cover expenses that National had been picking up or would be obliged to pick up had those checks not been held in the National office. Is that essentially what you're saying?
Now, CPB is specifically tracked by station and by allocation. That's part of what came out of
okay.
their audit.
Okay.
It's why we had to institute many new categories. I am
wonderful.
Not
just if you could just
I mean, they would have been allocated specifically for something like a health care bill back to D.C. or payroll. And that is
Summer,
how any of
Summer,
them were used.
Summer, I get, hello?
Yeah.
We
oh,
don't. Let
okay.
her finish.
What I'm saying is, yes, we can. That has all been tracked, and we can certainly generate a report on that.
And that's what I'm asking. I'm asking that, in fact, these reports be generated for each station, and that they be sent for all stations to the PNB, and for the individual stations, send it to the GMs and the treasurer for distribution to the LSB.
Is that a motion, Serena?
You can do? I can make it a motion if it makes it easier.
You're asking that it go where distribution to PNB, LSB treasurers, and GMs?
For all
I'd like
you
to at least send it in writing what you're looking for, please. Okay.
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Would you like it in the form of a motion as well?
It doesn't matter, frankly. I mean, we'll do our best to generate the reports, obviously, whether you make it a motion or not. So, but if you could just send it to me in writing so that I don't
absolutely.
Thank you.
God.
Appreciate that, Serena. Okay. I'm sorry. Did anybody else listen to me on stack? We're probably over time on my item, but is anyone else?
Oh, she was sitting on the rug.
Okay.
And then she
are we good?
Question.
Richard?
I thought Margie was keeping time. It is over time. The time allotted on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Well, if we're good, then everybody else received everything in writing, and we can move on to the LMA discussion, okay? All right, very good. Thank you. All righty. I do not know necessarily where the folks who want to have this in an open session wish to go with the open session LMA discussion. I have covered some of this before, other than going through the wide parameters of what legal framework is for an LMA, I'm not sure that I should be opening with some particular presentation on this, because I'm obviously of the considered opinion that once you get past the wider discussion, it comes down to specifics that have to be discussed in closed session. So I'd probably like to take a stack for discussion and see who wishes to talk about this, frankly. So is there someone who wishes to open?
Actually, Summer, can I make a different suggestion?
Sure, of course.
That, in fact, you define the LMA and give as much of the synopsis that Krigler provided as you
sure.
feel can be publicly stated.
I can share pretty much all of what Krigler stated in terms of the general framework. So if that would be helpful to people, I can start us off there, certainly. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the board has it, but, the listeners obviously don't.
That's true. Okay. Thank you, Serena. That's a good suggestion.
Just a brief point of order.
Are you going to take me back now, or...?
No, I'm probably going to try and cut it down to control, a short presentation. Yes, Tracy, what's the point of order?
The point of order is if we could use the term PSOA rather than LMA.
Sure.
I believe that's the correct term, and I kind of like us to
LMA.
Use it moving forward.
Sure, no problem. Okay, so for the sake of clarity of the listening public out there, an LMA is a local marketing agreement, typically reserved to the commercial part of our universe of broadcasters, and a public service operating agreement, PSOA, is the term for a similar type of agreement as it relates to a non-commercial broadcaster. So it can also be called time brokerage agreement, a management agreement, or several other names that are somewhat similar. They're all subject to FCC rules and regulations, and the regulations favor the license holder, that would be Pacifica in this case, in its arrangements that it enters into with a third party. And it requires that the license holder maintain control of three key areas of operation, which I'm going to pull up right now. Well, it doesn't quite break it down that way, where it just says bam, bam, bam. But essentially, you have to have the ability to take over the broadcast day at a moment's notice. You have to maintain a main studio within 25 miles of the center of the community of license.
Yeah.
A requirement encompasses staffing and technical requirements as well as a location. The general requirement is that the licensee must retain two full-time employees, one of whom has managerial responsibilities. The other employee may be assigned administrative tasks. The main studio must be a meaningful presence in the community, not just a P.O. box. In addition to being located in or near the community of license and being staffed, the main studio must be accessible to the public and the repository of the public inspection file. It must also be technically capable of continuously originating programming. And if the PSOA is terminated, the licensee must be able to resume full-time responsibility for operating the station. So in addition to these specific regulatory requirements, LMAs or PSOAs are governed by the broad principle of control. During the term of an LMA, the licensee must retain ultimate control over three core areas: programming, personnel, and finances. These are the things which are negotiated in terms of programming blocks, and personnel have the requirements that I've just covered. Any LMA...
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Simon? Those three areas.
I'm sorry. Programming, personnel, and finances.
Okay, thank you.
Any LMA or PSOA must vest Pacifica with the power to reject or preempt programming and the responsibility for determining that the programming broadcast on the station serves the public interest and does not violate FCC rules. So we still have to maintain competence over the airwaves and the fact that a third party may not do something that could violate FCC rules. The PSOA must enable Pacifica to exercise an employer's authority over the Pacifica employees who work at the station and to assign one of those employees managerial duties. The most problematic requirement is that of control over station finances. At a minimum, this requirement means the licensee should know that revenues raised by on-air solicitations are dedicated to the cost of operating and programming the station. Although the principle for commercial LMAs generally apply to non-commercial NCE stations as well, there is one practical and one regulatory difference. The practical difference is that non-commercial stations cannot run ads and thus cannot generate ad revenues to pay the licensee for the station's airtime. Revenues must be generated from donations, grants, and possibly underwriting. The regulatory difference is that non-commercial stations are subject to a rule that limits what a non-commercial licensee can receive under a PSOA to, quote, the furnishing of the program and the costs incidental to its production and broadcast. While there are multiple decisions involving commercial LMAs, there is only one published decision involving a non-commercial station, and that decision related to a single issue. It held that paying a non-commercial licensee more than its operating costs violated FCC rules. Although this decision does not answer all the questions that may arise under a non-commercial PSOA, it is precedent for the fact that a PSOA for a non-commercial station is permissible if the PSOA complies with certain FCC requirements and restrictions. A PSOA is thus a means of retaining a broadcast license and being relieved of station operating expenses until the licensee either resumes complete responsibility for the station or sells it. And that's pretty much, as those of you who have a copy of this, is verbatim from our attorney in terms of explaining the principles by which something of this nature works from a regulatory perspective. And because there according to Mr. Kriegler, because there have not been a plethora of decisions regarding non-commercial operators entering into these type of agreements, there are many areas, particularly to do with revenue, that simply have not been decided upon by the FCC. So we would have to seek informal guidance so as to navigate the regulatory waters effectively in the absence of precedent. Now we can take a stack. Thank you.
Benito.
Brian here.
Lydia.
I might actually write you all down tonight. Hold on. Benito. Brian. Serene, did I hear?
Lydia.
Lydia. I'm sorry, Lydia.
Brenda.
Brenda.
Tony. Tony.
Tony, I got you. Anybody else? Okay. All right, Benito, go ahead, please.
Okay, this is a question I've asked before, and I'm going to ask it again because I don't think I got an answer, plus because I don't remember if I asked in closed session or open. But my basic question, and I have others, is I would like to know why would a non-commercial entity, a non-profit of some sort, enter into such an arrangement if they can't make no money? And I'm not trying to suggest that they should, but I'm just trying to understand, you know, who stands to benefit, what do they stand to benefit, and why, I mean, why would they do this? Other than some, which is the answer I've heard before, is that they support Pacifica, whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. But anyway, that's all I've heard, and that doesn't make sense to me. People don't do things simply for, or most of the time don't do things for simply altruistic reasons. There's got to be something in it for them, and I want to know what that is. Well, we should want to know what that is.
Presumptively, it's because they get to broadcast their programming on our airwaves, so it would seem that that would be a motivating factor for at least some entities, is that they have access to an extremely large signal to broadcast the content that they feel is relevant to content that they broadcast on a large signal. Brian?
Yeah, just to clarify that, they can keep as much money as they can raise using WBAI's signal. The law only imposes limits on what they can pay Pacifica. So they could get
a
lot of hard cash
out of that.
They
can't keep it if it's raised on air, but if they raise it, for instance, online, they can keep that. On-air money has to go to Pacifica.
No, that's not what Krigler's memo says, and that's not what he's told us.
On-air revenues. No, I'm pretty sure about that one, Brian. That they can raise money through other means, because he and I discussed this. So if you want to come back to that, that's fine.
Okay, well, then I need clarification on that. But I was just going to kind of say, since...
At the minimum, this requirement means that the licensee should know that revenues raised by on-air solicitations are dedicated to the cost of operating and programming the station. He was very specific about that. What they raise on the air has to go to Pacifica. They can raise money through other means. Conceivably, they could do underwriting, that sort of thing.
No, not
point
to Pacifica.
Of intention, Carolyn, on the stack, please.
Sorry, Brian.
To operating WBAI.
Right.
Correct.
No,
which is on,
please, may I have
while a, it's under their control.
May I have a point of clarification on that?
Hold on, Brian, were you done?
Anyway, can I make the point I was going to make? Sorry.
And if there's confusion over that, I'll probably seek additional guidance, okay?
Great.
Summer, may I have a point of clarification?
In a moment, Carolyn. What is your point, Brian? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I just wanted to say, I support exploring PSOAs, LMAs, whatever we want to call them. I think one thing we can all agree that we need, given the situation in the network and in New York, is options. My principal concern and the question I think we need to resolve, which we have not resolved with hard numbers before we go down very far down this path, is whether WBAI is capable of continuing to operate in its current form. Because what is clear about how the law works is Pacifica doesn't get any profit out of this. This arrangement can't pay the unpaid bills that already exist at WBAI. It can just pay the bills going forward. So the best thing it's going to do for us is stop bleeding, not dig us out of any holes that we've already dug. So I think the question, and I'd just really like to see hard numbers, is now that WBAI has radically cut its costs, is it catching up on its pile of unpaid bills? Is it falling further behind on its unpaid bills, or is it treading water? And I think that's a question we have to dispose of with hard numbers before we decide to go much further down the PSOA path.
Yes. Well, really, Brian, that's
I'm just
an
saying
excellent
it for the
question.
Summary.
I mean, I can say in terms of where we're at that the severance comes in, you know, a little over $250,000. That has to be paid within 90 days. They've just started a fund drive out there, but they were only able to pay half of their tower rent in November, and it's already almost mid-December. So
summer.
It's we're still in rather critical condition at BAI, to say the least. I'm sorry, who is that?
Ms. Margie, I just want to urge you to resist the temptation to speak after each speaker. I think you should put yourself on the list and get recognized, but I think it's not a good way to conduct a discussion for you to speak in between everyone else. Pardon me.
Well, people keep asking me questions, but I don't have to answer.
Well, you can answer them later, all at once.
Is that what people would prefer, that I not answer your questions and wait till the end? I can do that.
No, I object. I appreciate having the answers when the questions are still fresh in our minds. I do have a question for
I'm sorry. Please, folks, not all at once. Carolyn, I put you on stack. Do you need to speak before I get you on stack regarding what Brian said, or can you wait?
Something that just went by that I wanted to ask for clarification on.
What is the clarification?
Well, the question that you and Brian were not clear on. The word that Krigler used is the station, and if you read his, I don't have the text in front of me, you do, but where he says the monies will be used for the support of the station. My question is, that word is ambiguous there. I couldn't tell whether he meant the station, the lessee, meaning in this case WBAI, or the station taking over the station. So if you can ask Krigler specifically that one word, Brian understood it differently than you did.
I'll certainly get clarification on that section of his memo.
Mitchell, yeah, where does the money go? Which station? Whose station? Thank you.
Thank you. I understand whether it's going to the third-party operator or to the licensee, us. Okay, thank you.
Summer, can I make a suggestion?
Certainly, Serene.
I mean, I understand that if someone directs a question to you, you think it's better to just deal with it right away, and that's fine. But can I ask that that not be counted out of the 35 minutes?
Sure. I'm trying to keep my answers brief, frankly.
No, I get that, but, you know, the clock's still going to go where it's going to go. So can we not time your, not include your answers in the count? That might be messy for the timekeeper.
Let's just try to expedite, and I will certainly keep my answers brief, okay? We'll see if we exhaust the 35 minutes with the people that are on stack, okay? Because right now we don't.
And please add me to the stack.
Certainly.
Thanks.
Lydia, you're next.
Excuse me. Yeah, so before I bring up my point, about the last point, if we can have a question to Krigler, if you copy us when you ask the question, because he and these opinions, whether it be from any attorney, HR, or whatever, is what is the question. Otherwise, the opinion is not as relevant. Anyway, if you could please do that, that's just a request. And then I'll send the written request from Krigler back to us, because I think I found it ambiguous as well. But in terms of consideration of the LMA, my biggest problem is that there's no plan. There's no plan to take back the station. There's no, again, no hard numbers. I agree totally with Brian. And, I mean, we know there's, you know, trouble in River City here. We know the trouble they're in. That part is clear. But what do we get back? The other thing is, and this is generic, I'm not suggesting anyone has suggested this, but any language that includes the right of first refusal implies a sale.
Right.
And so even though I actually, we've gotten other opinions that going into an LMA does not require a membership vote, I think that was a flaw in the bylaws, perhaps. It's kind of, to some degree, a prudent thing to do, whether it's required or not. But that aside, certainly a sale is. So including such language, which is a motivating factor for any LMA, and it speaks to what Benito said, and, if any LMA includes that, I would object to that language, just in case anybody were to submit such a thing, and I'm not saying anyone has. The main thing is we don't have a plan. Like, what happens at the end of the 4, 6, or 8 years?
Your time is up.
We need a hard plan with hard numbers. How are we going to recover? Where are we going to raise the money, et cetera? And short of that plan, I can't fully commit to something. I have a preference based on some of the things that have been sent to us. Were we to go to one, that's not
the time. Your time is up. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia. Just to clarify, it's page 2, last paragraph is where the confusion is at on the opinion. I will get clarity on that, okay? And I've written down what you had to say, Lydia, about a plan for getting back out from under a license agreement. Brenda, you're next.
Tracy for the stack.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I have a couple comments, not necessarily questions. My first comment being relative to the idea of even having an LMA discussion. I don't feel that we've exhausted other resources to even have an LMA discussion. So I actually am not in favor of having this discussion at all. The second thing that I wanted to state is there are a lot of ambiguities that I would like to see the CFO and Quigler on a call with the full PMB in order to get more of a realistic numbers idea, because all I see is words on a paper, nothing that says that it's going to really help the AI. And I too had a concern, my third comment is, I too had a concern with the way that I read the definition of an LMA, of it not even being able to cover our debt at the AI, which is very problematic, of this agreement potentially only being something to be able to pay our bills moving on rather than in the past, or being able to get us out of debt. And I think it's very irresponsible of us to talk about a plan after the agreement, as opposed to having that discussion of a plan for BAI right now, which we haven't had, even though it was charged to the LSV at BAI a long time ago, and we never had that discussion on the PMB level. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. Tony?
Mine are just comments as well. I have very strong opinions about even whatever you want to call it, LMA or whatever the PSA or whatever the FBI, CIA, or whatever you want to call it, the term you use. It's the same thing. I have very serious concerns about going in that direction. We have not exhausted, especially since we've reduced the staff at 2/3. I think it's manageable now. For what I think their expenses now about $150 a month now, when I was reported at the Finance Committee. And I think it's manageable that we can save this station, and it's our responsibility. This is not just BAI, this is Pacifica. And we have to save BAI. I would like to see a better sustainability plan, and we have to come up with a sustainability plan, Pacifica, not just BAI. We need to help them come up with a plan to sustain themselves. Turning it over and leasing it out is a surrender. We're putting up a white flag saying we can no longer do community radio. That is not what Pacifica is about. That's not what this organization was started about. That is a surrender. That should be a last option, not a consideration option that we consider it now. So I'm strongly against going in that direction because I think it's a surrender. We can fight this thing out, but the BAI is a part of Pacifica. It's not a separate, it's just not a separate entity that we're just going to let go under and then sell it off. We can't do that or even lease it off. So I think it's, we have not exhausted our remedies of solving the problems at BAI, letting them raise the money, and we help them. We must use all of our assets, Pacifica, of every station. I would even be inclined to go through loans to help them reduce their debts rather than use this option that we have on the table. We must exhaust all the resources that Pacifica has to save BAI, and this should be the last option on the table, not one of the first options on the table. So I'm very strongly against it because I don't think we're in that dire straits. We're all responsible for BAI being where it is today. The board did not prepare a plan when they saw that they were going under over the last 2 or 3 years. Executive directors did not prepare a plan when they saw it going under. General managers didn't do it. So we all have to take responsibility for why this station is in the red. So I do not think this is the direction we should go. It is a surrender. We're putting up a yellow flag saying we cannot do community radio anymore. Okay. What are we going to do next? When we protest something, we're going to hire a company to go up and protest something when we're against Congress? Are we going to hire companies to protest for us? This is not a direction we need to go. This is a surrender. This is an abdication.
Tony, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Carolyn, you're next.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony, for that. I appreciate that. We have a problem at BAI. We have not, like a deer caught in the headlights here. And you're absolutely right. We need a plan. We need a nationwide plan, a network-wide plan for development, and all of our ills are mostly felt in many of the other stations. We need development. We need database improvement, cleanups. We need a lot of work. And I think that it's not enough to say you're against an LMA. I'm against an LMA, but we have to be for something. And I think we need a task force to maybe network-wide to pool the resources. The sustainability plan that we put forward hasn't been dealt with. That is correct. And as someone pointed out, it hasn't dealt, that plan was not meant to deal with the heart of the matter, which is programming. If we had more members, we wouldn't be in this position. So we need to deal with the programming, and we need to deal with the other business aspects. Start with a business plan and get some professional advice, pro bono, and work from there. And we don't have much time. So I'm hoping that what I'm saying is not foolish because there isn't much time, but that is where I am at this point.
Thank you, Carolyn. Serene?
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you come back to me in a minute?
John, please. John to the stack, please.
Sure, gotcha, John. All right,
thank
Tracy,
you.
You're next. Tracy?
Okay. All right, a couple of things. You know, the time to stem the losses at WBAI was 6 to 7 years ago. We didn't. We made the hole deeper. We've already used all of the resources in the network to bail out WBAI. That is why we all are $2 million in debt. So the question here is, are we going to continue to make the hole larger, and what is the risk of doing that? As for why someone would do this, in most cases, because they don't want that 50-watt transmitter, which is huge in a huge market, lost to the commercial sector forever. That's why they would do it. The revitalization plan for WBAI is good. It's solid. It has a lot of potential. If you read it, it requires resources that we do not have to implement it. Maybe at some point in the future we can come up with those resources and implement it and make a big success out of running our New York station. We don't have those resources now to implement. We would need to mortgage another station's building in order to implement the WBAI recovery plan. That's how bad it is. The board already ventured into or considered a loan to bail out WBAI, I think it was 2008, by literally mortgaging KPFK's building, offering it as collateral on a balloon loan. Had we done that, by 2013, KPFK's building 6 months ago would be gone. These are risky maneuvers, and the reality is we've gone way past the point at which you stem the losses, contribute resources, and go forward. We didn't stem the losses. We kept pouring resources in. There are no more losses, and we're all millions of dollars in debt. I think we have to be realistic about that, and we have to not get obsessed about the next 5 years and pay attention to the next 10 or 15 or 20 years and what we're going to have at the end of that period, if, in fact, Pacifica will be here. Because if we lose it forever, then there is no recovery. And sometimes I think people focus on the short term when they need to be looking at the long term. Thanks.
Thank you, Tracy. Serene, do you want to come back on yet? Okay, I'm going to go to John. John, go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I would say that originally I thought, as Tony did, that it would be a good idea to have WBAI try to pull itself up in this way that makes no sense whatsoever by its own bootstraps. We know that it doesn't really make sense because when you're pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, you're standing in those boots that you're trying to pull up, so it doesn't work. And that's the position that WBAI has found itself in. So I have moved toward the value of the proposals we're looking at because it helps us to catch our breath. We have a solid plan. It looks as if we would have a solid plan in place that would enable us to maintain our stations properly, to stop the leakage that is occurring, to get ourselves in better financial position, and then to move forward, rather than to face another disaster that would force our hand and leave us with no options. So it's better to take an option now while things are looking brighter so that we can see with this additional help that the stations would be able to enter into a full recovery. And I think that that is something that all of us need. And to address an issue that was discussed earlier having to do with the problem with the archives, that is very clear. They weren't receiving money from our eastern stations, and because of that, the other stations had to subsidize those expenses. And the difficulty that the archive experienced, as I understand it from our finance committee meeting, was very clearly that they were not getting money from all of the stations. So I think that that is another issue we need to keep in mind as we move forward in terms of the ability of stations to pay their bills. And that's why I would support these taking a real good look at these LMA proposals. Thank you.
Benito to the stack, if I can.
Janet.
The second round's Benito and the amount
Hello.
Of time.
Hello, am I on the stack?
I'm sorry, people are pressing buttons. Janet, I've got you on the stack.
Yes, okay.
Let me just ask, Serene, are you coming back on stack yet or not?
Yes, I'll join the bottom.
You want to be on the bottom. Okay, Janet, go ahead, please.
This is what I am concerned about. As we are entering yet another drive, we've been at least, what is it, one-third of the year in a fund drive this year, and it looks like it could just increase so that we're almost inevitably in a drive because we are not making our goals. And we're eating our seed corn, you know. I mean, we're eating our listeners because we're so much in drive. What I am concerned about is that as we lose listeners, we lose the ability to have a solid base to pay for our transmitter. When we had the first call, the emergency call to save our transmitter. Money really started pouring in. There's a very, very strong feeling in the tri-state area that this station has enormous historical importance, political importance, and relevance to the sanity of this signal area. We cannot lose this signal, period. Now, all other considerations have to come second to that. We cannot lose this signal. Pacifica really has no right to let this happen, despite all the years of mismanagement and tomfoolery, whatever went before. We cannot lose this signal. I don't think I'm going to say too much more about it. I think we have to look at these PSOAs very, very carefully. I'm not sure I agree with Benito that every offer is a cynical one and that they want to use us, although in every case there's some way that, I mean, they're not us. The people who are asking for our to lease our signal are not us. And so we have to see who's close, who's far, who might enhance for even for a short time, until who might support us in getting back on our feet, and that is taking over these the pressures of these particular monthly expenses that we're unable to pay, and who would be, you know, complicit in our mission. What I'm saying, believe me, I feel like I'm walking on the edge of a cliff as I say it, but I think we have to examine them. We are in a precipitous, terrible condition at WBAI. The idea of every month thinking that we have not enough money to pay for that Empire State Building transmitter is a horrifying possibility, period. Okay.
Thank you, Janet.